This is City on the Hills podcast. We hope this message becomes a revelation in your heart and will encourage you to live a Christ-centered life. Thanks for checking out our podcast. Here's today's message.
Let's pray. God, we want to thank you that you are here. Thank you that you are good, that you are kind, that you are loving, that you are strong, and that you are faithful. And today I pray that our hearts would be open to receive what you have for us. We open our hearts, we look to you, and we want to receive from you through your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, it's such a delight for me to be able to share God's word with you today. Today is a really special message. I just wanted to share from my heart with our City on Hill family. And if you're watching from another part of the world, you're going to get an inside, like a view of what God has got for us in this season. And I do believe that one thing we need to settle in our hearts in this season is the goodness of God. I want to talk to you today about the goodness of God. I want to talk to you about the fact that God is good, is always good. He's only good, and nothing about God is not good. I love how Psalm 27, verse 13 says, I will remain confident in this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'm confident, friends. I'm so confident as I'm standing here in front of you right now that you and I, we will continually see the goodness of our Lord in the land of the living, not only after this life, but even in this life, we are seeing and we are called to continually see the goodness of God in every part of our lives. Friends, I want to ask you, are you expecting the goodness of God? Are you looking for the goodness of God? Are you hoping for the goodness of God? Or are you like most people looking at the news, looking at the circumstances, looking at a pandemic and saying, there's no hope, there's fear, there's apprehension, there's hopelessness, there's discouragement, there's disappointment. And I cannot expect a good future because I cannot see it right now. I'm here to say to you, friends, we can expect great things. We can expect goodness. We can expect God's kindness. Why? Because we have a good, good Father. We have a good, good Father. And that's who He is. And we are loved by Him. That's who we are. We've got a good, good Father. Remember Rory Dyer last year? He encouraged us. He said, how much more? How much more? Can you say how much more? How much more will your Father in heaven not give us the good gifts? If we earthly fathers, though we are evil like God says, know how to give good gifts, how much more? How much more will our Heavenly Father? We've got a Heavenly Father, friends, that loves us, that cares about us, that's committed to us. God is more committed to you than you could ever be to yourself. God loves you and me more than what we could ever love ourselves. You know, God is so amazing. He's so faithful. He's so good. He expressed it through the sacrifice of His Son on the cross. You know, God didn't hold anything back. And we saw the goodness of God through the cross of Jesus Christ. We saw the goodness of God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We saw the goodness of God through the outpouring of the Spirit. God not only giving us good gifts, but giving us Himself, His Spirit. I'm here to say to you, friends, we've got a good God. And if you've got a good God, you've got a good inheritance. And if you've got a good inheritance, you've got hope for your future. And here's the thing, friends. I feel in this message, I'm hoping that we're going to just take a few minutes. We're going to reflect on the goodness of God. And in the light of His goodness, we're going to expect goodness and express goodness. In the light of His goodness, we're going to embrace the bigness of what He's got for us. In the light of His goodness, we're going to trust Him for big things for our future. In the light of His kindness and His goodness and His faithfulness, we're going to embrace the call of God on our own lives, not because we are good, but because He's good, not because we are faithful always, because sometimes we are faithless, but because He is faithful. God cannot deny Himself. He's just good. God is just good. He's faithful. He's kind. The Bible says in Psalm 27, verse 1, I read verse 13 earlier, but verse 1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? God is our stronghold. He's your safe place. He says this, actually, he makes this promise to Abraham. He says, I'm your shield, your exceedingly great reward. God is our shield. He's our stronghold. He's our reward. And it's in Him that we find life. In His light, we see light. In His goodness, we experience and express goodness. I believe you and I need to be strong in the Lord, like it says in Psalm 27. I want to encourage you today, would you meditate on Psalm 27? I believe we need to look for the goodness of God because it's there. His goodness is so real. And if we see His goodness, we expect His goodness, we get to encounter His goodness. We get to share His goodness. We get to enjoy His goodness. I'm so sad to see so many amazing born-again believers, believers that have a destiny, that have a future, and they're defeated and they're hopeless because they don't believe that their God is good. They don't believe that God is good. A.W. Tozer said the following. He said, "The goodness of God is infinitely more wonderful than we will ever be able to comprehend." It's infinitely more wonderful than you and I can comprehend. Isaiah 61 verse 7, we see that in the light of the call of God upon Jesus Christ and His church, and we are now an expression of Jesus on the church, out of that place we are the planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. Remember, we can be confident in the goodness of God. We can be confident in the faithfulness of God. Listen to this. He says in verse 7, instead of your shame, He says, you will receive a double portion. He says, I'm going to exchange your shame for a double portion. Jesus Christ became shame on the cross. He was stripped naked on the cross so that you and I don't have to have any shame, but that we can have the double blessing that comes from God. And instead of disgrace, the Bible says, you'll rejoice in your inheritance. There's a confidence. There's an expectation that rises up that the best is still to come, Lord, my friends. That He saves the best wine for last. God is not a, He's not a God that goes from strength to weakness. He goes from strength to strength. He goes from glory to glory. He goes from faith to faith in our lives. It says, you'll rejoice in your inheritance. You will be able to rejoice in your inheritance. Friends, can you, if you are with someone, can you tell them, you have an inheritance? And if you don't, if you're not with someone, just tell yourself, you have an inheritance. I have an inheritance. In Christ, I have a great inheritance. My inheritance is far greater than I can understand. And what I love is, I love that he says, you're going to rejoice in that inheritance. You're not going to get disgrace because you've got a good Father. You're not going to get left. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He cannot deny Himself. He loves you because He loves you, because He loves you, because He's faithful, because He's gracious, He's compassionate, He's slow to anger, abounding in love. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. The Lord Jesus Christ was moved with compassion. He's a good, good Father that gives good gifts. All every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. How much more will our Father in heaven not give us good things? And most of all, give us Himself, give us His Spirit. Friends, He carries on in verse 7 of Isaiah 61. He says, and so you will inherit a double portion in your land. Friends, we can expect to inherit a double portion in this very land. Friends, in the very season that you're in the very marriage that you're in the very church that you find yourself, God can give you a double portion. In the family that you're in this relationship with Jesus that you're in, there's a double portion that you and I can experience. And everlasting joy will be yours. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Everlasting joy will be yours in Jesus, in His goodness, in His grace. Friends, I want you and me to get a glimpse of the goodness of God and then to respond to the goodness of God, to grow in experiencing the goodness of God. The boundary lines have fallen for you and me in pleasant places. Let's go to Psalm 16, verse 5 to 8. It says, Lord, You alone are my portion and my cup. My portion, You are my portion, You're my cup. And You make my lot secure. You make my inheritance, my standing secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. Isn't this a good God? Friends, you and I, there's an inheritance for you and me. Remember we spoke about confidence and we said that God's got an inheritance for us. There's an inheritance for City on Hill Church, for us as a church family, worldwide. God's got a delightful inheritance for us. There's an inheritance for you amongst your friends, your colleagues, your family, even an inheritance in the saints, a delightful inheritance. He says, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. It's like God has said, actually, I've set this apart for you. Verse 7 says, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at the night, my heart instructs me. Listen, friends, I'll praise the Lord because He counsels me. My God is so good that He counsels me. He instructs me. My heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. Verse 8, with Him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Man, if we could just see the goodness of God, if we could see the bigness of God, if we could see the faithfulness of God, when we keep our eyes on Him, when we keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, friends, we will not be shaken. A.W. Tozer also wrote, he says, with the goodness of God, to desire our highest welfare, the wisdom of God to plan it, and the power of God to achieve it, what do we lack? Surely we are the most favored of all creatures. I'm going to say this again. When you've got the goodness of God as your highest welfare, he says, if you've got the wisdom of God to plan it, he says, and the power of God to achieve it, what do you lack? What do you and I need? We need nothing. He says, we are most favored. We are the most favored on the earth. Get this. You and I are most favored. We've got the goodness of God. We've got the wisdom of God. We've got the power of God because He's good and He's faithful and His love endures forever. So how do you and I grow in the goodness of God? I want to unpack a few things that you and I can help, that can help us to grow in experiencing His goodness, sharing His goodness, and bringing glory to Him with our lives. And this is the call of God upon City on Hill Church. This is the call of God on every single living stone that God builds together, every single saint, every single believer, every leader, every deacon, every elder in our church. Together, God has got great things for us, and He's called us for His goodness, for His grace, and for His glory. So the first way to grow in the goodness of God is to know your God. Know Him. This is eternal life, Jesus said, that they might know you, the only true God. Daniel writes, he says, those who know their God will do great exploits. I believe that most people don't experience the goodness of God because they don't know the good God. And then they can't experience His goodness. God's goodness doesn't stop. It's our experience of His goodness that gets limited. Will you have a daily relationship with Jesus, friends? A daily walk with Him. A daily walk with Him. And friends, I know we grow in God. We grow in God individually and in community. But we need to know our God. We need to know our good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, it says in Psalm 23. Know your God. If you know your God, then you can know that He will set a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Psalm 23 verse 5. He says, He will anoint your head with oil. If you know your God, He anoints your head with oil. You can have the anointing, the presence, the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Your cup can overflow. Abundance, exceedingly, abundantly, far above all that you need, I could think or pray for. Know your God, my friends. Know Him. The reason why most people fall is because they don't know. And if you don't know your God, you're going to fail. And then he says, surely, the overflow of knowing your God, he says, surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Oh, you can expect goodness and mercy. You don't have to chase goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy follows you when you follow the good shepherd. When you follow the good shepherd, when you know your God, goodness and mercy is right behind you. When you know your God, the goodness of God comes. The kindness of God comes. And the mercy of God. Mercy is not getting what I do deserve. I deserve judgment. I deserve separation from God. I deserve eternal death, but I don't get it. I deserve, because His mercy is on you every morning. I deserve so many things, but I don't get it. Why? Because God's goodness and God's mercy follow me. And then he says this, I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Forever and ever I'll be able to dwell in the house of the Lord. I've got access, I have enjoyment to the presence of God. I can enjoy God's presence all the days of my life. Friends, because He lives, like that old song says, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, this I know, He holds the future. Now life is worth the living just because He lives. Because He lives, you and I can face tomorrow. Friends, most people say, I don't know what the future holds. Friends, we don't have to worry about the future. All we need is to know the one that holds the future. And then we are secure. We are safe in the arms of a loving Father that's good, that's always good, and that's always faithful, and that's always kind. Charles Spurgeon said the following. He says, remember the goodness of God in the frost of adversity. Remember the goodness of God in the frost of adversity. The frost is like the resistance, the against, that comes against. Frost It's like that cold frost that wants to freeze. He says, remember God's goodness in the middle of challenges, in the middle of loss in your family, in the middle of doubt and despair. Remember the goodness of God. In the middle of our church, now going through some roles are shifting, and Marie and I are still part of the church, but we're not in the same role. And Gareth and Ains and Hein and Adele and the elders and some of the leaders, there's different roles, but just because the roles shift, it's just because there's some frost sometimes. Let's remember the goodness of God. Let's look back at the last 12, 13 years and see the goodness of God. If you and I can recognize His goodness, we can enjoy His goodness. And if we enjoy His goodness, we can grow in His goodness. The second thing I want to say to grow in God's goodness is you've got to embrace God's will for your life. Most people cannot experience God's goodness because they reject the will of God. They reject the will of God. Corrie ten Boom said, the safest place for you and me to be is in the center of God's will. She was in a concentration camp, and she said she was safe. Most people want to live outside of God's will, and then they want to experience God's goodness. Most people want to, they want to, in a sense, not honor marriage, but then they want God's blessing upon their relationship. They want to be intimate outside of marriage, but then they want God's blessing. Most people want God's blessing, but they don't want to deal righteously in their business. I'm here to say to you, do the will of God and do obey God's word, and you'll experience the goodness of God in those areas. Now, I'm not saying you work for God's goodness. Remember, I spoke about it. I spoke about you and me positioning in the goodness of God. It says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16, and Gareth just unpacked it so powerfully the other day, just through some of our celebrating partnership moments. But Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16 says, let me tell you why you are here. Oh, this is in the Message translation. I love this. He says, you're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. So what's God's will for my life? God's will for my life is that I'll bring out God flavors, that I'd be the salt of the earth. That's God's will for my life. God's will for my life is not so that I can sip pina coladas and just kind of have a aimless life and just watch Netflix. That's not God's will for my life. There's nothing wrong with having a day or two off, and there's nothing wrong with some entertainment, but that's not the pinnacle of your life. The pinnacle of your life is not just some purposeless existence. The pinnacle of your life is to be salt and light. The pinnacle of your life is to bring about reconciliation, because we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. The pinnacle of our lives is to live for the glory of God and to enjoy God. That's what the Westminster Catechism said. It says, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. We glorify Him and we enjoy Him because He's good, He's kind, He's loving, He's awesome, He's gracious, He's compassionate, He's slow to anger and abounding in love and steadfast love. It says, if you lose your saltiness, this is Matthew 5:13, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Verse 14 says, here's another way to put it. You're here to be light. The reason why you're on earth, you want to experience God's goodness, you need to be able to share God's goodness. Because I've learned the more we share His goodness, the more we experience His goodness. It's amazing. Know Him, experience His goodness, and then start sharing His goodness through being salt, bringing flavor, the God flavors. Watch this. Bringing out the God colors. That's what light does. You bring out the God colors. Have you seen that? I remember being in science class and how we shone like a light into a prism. And from that prism, there were these different kinds of lights. It's like a rainbow that came. One beam of light made multiple colors. And the God colors comes through you, and God colors comes through different people in the church. When you and I are connected to other believers, the God colors comes out. It says this. It says, God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. This is where our church's name comes from this very passage. It says, if I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you on a hilltop, a city on a hill, He says, on a light stand, shine, shine, so that the God colors can come in, come out. You want to experience God's goodness? Share God's goodness. He says this. It says, keep open house. Be generous with your lives by opening up to others. You'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Another translation says, let people might see your good deeds. Let your light so shine that they might see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. See, when you and I do express the goodness of God, God gets glorified. People are drawn to God when we express God's goodness. See, it's the goodness of God ministered to us, and then it's the goodness of God ministered through us. Friends, my heart for you and me is that we would experience this good God and express His goodness wherever we go. I believe it's amazing how you're a lamp individually among your friends and family, and you're also part of a city. That's what Matthew chapter 5 teaches. We're a lamp and a city. A lamp is individually as my own gifts. I make a difference wherever I go. A city is together. A city is many lights connected to one another, shining. And a city cannot be hidden. A lamp can. Alone you can be hidden, but together, impossible to hide a city that is set on a hill. And I'm here to say to you today that God has called you to be a city on a hill that can shine your light brightly. A city that's on a hill, and that means you cannot do this alone. You've got to be connected to other believers. Friends, I'm asking you in this season to plug in with City on a Hill. I'm asking you to plug in with fellow believers, to plug in with the deacons and the elders and the leaders of City on a Hill, to plug in with the purposes of God, the vision of God, the call of God upon City on a Hill. Be all in, plug yourself, connect yourself to this body, because as you're connected, you're going to shine your light and you cannot be hidden. God spoke to us about this, and God says to us, He says, He called us to be fishers of men. He called us to shine our light. He called us to be fishers of men. And the way we are fishers of men is we do it individually. So you can fish like with a fishing rod and fish with your friends, fish and reach out to one or two people like I've done to some of my friends and family members. And you can fish with a net. You can be a city on a hill. And I've got a net here behind me. And as you can see, you might probably wondered, what's going on here? This is an amazing net that God gave us as a church. And the picture that God gave us is that every person in City on Hill, as you've experienced God's goodness and as you've come into this local church, you've experienced God's goodness, God wants you to share His goodness. And so every person in City on Hill is a link. Every person is a link in City on Hill. And together, we make up a massive net. There's a massive net behind me. And this net is a picture. Jesus says, it's the kingdom of heaven is like a net that you throw into the sea and you catch all sorts of fish. And this net is used. We catch fish together. We go on outreaches together, and on Sundays, we lead people to Christ. On every Sunday is an opportunity to put out the net, to see people far from God become the light of Christ. Now, I'm here to say to you, friends, if you disconnect yourself from this local church, I'm telling you, if God moves you on, we want to pray for you, we want to bless you. But if God has not spoken to you about going, you need to be connected, because if you're not here, fish are going to come through. And we're not going to be able to reach all the people we need to reach, because we need you in. We need you and you need us. We need you connected and we need to be connected to you, so that together, as we are connected, we can reach so many more people. Together, we can make such a big difference. Together, we can go to the nations together. Together, we can reach our cities. Together, we can reach our family and our friends. Together, friends, we can impact schools and the medical sector. Together, we can feed the hungry. We can minister to those that are destitute. Together, we can make such a great difference. I want to ask you to bloom where you are planted, to plant yourself in this local church for such a time as this. Please, friends, just because there are some role shifts, just because there's a different captaincy, just because there's been a shift and now we've got to embrace a big inheritance, and this net has to grow now, not only in one city, but multiple cities, not only in one nation, but multiple nations. Just because the net's growing, don't disengage. I'm asking you to engage even more in this season, to plant yourself, because then you are the planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. It says in Acts chapter 17, verse 26 to 27, it says, from one man, He made all the people of the world. Now they live all over the earth. He decided exactly where they should live, and He decided exactly when they should live, and He decided exactly where they should live. God did this so that people would seek Him and perhaps they would reach out to Him and find Him. They would find Him even though He's not far from any of us. See, I believe that God predetermined the exact places where you should live so that people can call upon His name. God predetermined if you find yourself right now in Clarksdorp, or you find yourself in Potchefstroom, or you find yourself in the city that you're in, God predetermined for you to be there. And friends, just by holding your breath to say, oh, well, God's going to take me somewhere else one day. One of these days, God's going to take me somewhere else. I'm here to say to you, friends, if you do not have a theology of place, if you do not understand that God put you there for a reason, you're going to miss out and you're not going to be able to embrace what He's got for you. You're going to miss out on some of the goodness of God that He wants you to experience in the season because you're going to hold your breath for the next season. And I'm here to say to you, friends, often then that gets delayed because you're not able to engage with what God's got for you right now. And so if God's put you in a specific city for a specific reason, don't move until God moves you. And then when God moves you, could you leave knowing that you've given everything God wanted you to give? You've been everything God wanted you to be. You've shared the goodness of God in the way God wanted you to share it while you were there. You were linked with the people of God in the place that God's got you so that people could call upon God's name. You carry life-giving power, friends. Wherever you go, things should change. The atmosphere should change where you and I go. We need to be those that are catalysts that bring about life and that bring about the grace of God, the love of God, the goodness of God. Jesus wants to use us so powerfully. He wants to catch individuals through you, but He also wants to catch multitudes with us together. And I'm excited that we can be in this amazing church. And you might say, but Mark, I don't even like this big church thing. The truth be told is, friends, it's not about big church. It's about communities on mission with Jesus. And so what's required in this season, if you want to experience the goodness of God while you're in the city that you're in. Maria and I, we found ourselves, we are still in the city till He moves us on. We don't know when He's moving us on. But when He does, we know that we've given everything. And if you've got 52 days left, like I said in the past, in that season that you're in, I'm here to say to you that God can use you for those 52 days. Nehemiah decided to experience the goodness of God, and then he wanted to share the goodness of God. And the way he did that is he said that we need to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. And all he asked those people to do, he said, wherever you live, wherever God's placed you, just in front of your house, build that piece of the wall. Just in front of your place, just where you are working, just the school that you are going to, maybe the place where you are teaching, maybe the church that you're involved in, just build the wall in front of you. With the gifts that God's given you, just build the wall in front of you. Just you do your little bit, and I'll do my bit, and someone else will do their bit, and together we'll do so much more, friends. If you're alone, you can only reach this far. Imagine there's 3,000 people connected to you, how far we can reach. Imagine 1 million people connected to one another, how far can we reach? We can reach so much more. We can make so much of a greater impact if we are joined together with Jesus and with one another. You want to experience God's goodness? You want to grow in God's goodness? You want to share God's goodness? Be linked to God's people. So what's required? I'm here to say to you, friends, you've got to recognize that if God calls you to go, you need to go. And if He calls you to stay, you need to stay. And sometimes we get that confused. Some people stay that need to go, and other people go that were actually supposed to stay. And we know this about Abraham. Abraham was called by God in Genesis chapter 12 to go. But Isaac was called by God to stay. And both of them were in the will of God. You can stay in the will of God and you can go in the will of God. And I'd like to just show you the power of discerning the seasons and being faithful in the season so that you can experience God's goodness, God's increase, God's abundance, God's more than enough. You can experience the Father wherever you are. Genesis chapter 26 verse 2 to 3 says, it says, the Lord appeared to Isaac and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you, and I will bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give these lands and confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. There's a generational blessing that God promises. God says, stay in this land. He says, don't go prematurely. Don't go just because it's famine right now. There was famine in the land. And so Isaac had every reason to go. And friends, if we go in reaction to famine, friends, we actually take famine with us. And I've seen people go to other countries and come back because they took famine with them. I've seen people go to other cities and come back because they took famine with them. And sometimes they stuck there, and now they took famine into their kids and their family, and their whole family was impacted by a bad decision because they went prematurely. I want to say this to you, friends, that if God's called you to stay, stay. And if He's called you to go, you must go. It's important. But then go because he's called you so that you can express his goodness and experience his goodness. But if he's called you to stay, stay experiencing his goodness and expressing his goodness. Listen to the promise that came to Isaac because he stayed in this land. The Bible says that Isaac planted crops in that land. Another translation says he sowed in that land. He sowed in that land. So most people, when God tells them to stay, what they do is they abdicate responsibility, they disconnect, and they become very passive in the call of God. They become very passive. They kind of wait for better days. But Isaac didn't do that. Isaac said, okay, well, I know I'm not going to be here forever, but as long as I'm here, I'm going to sow here. As long as I'm here, I'm going to plant here. I'm going to invest here. I'm going to make a difference here. Just like God says to the Israelites, to the Babylon, when they were in Babylon, he said, plant vineyards, build houses, give your children into marriage, because I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. God's saying to his people, even though you're not in the best place, the place that you would like to be in, seek the prosperity of that place. Plant in that place. Invest in that place. If you're in a marriage, sow in that marriage. If you're in the workplace, sow at that business. If you're in a friendship group, sow into that friendship group. If you're in a church, plant yourself. Sow into that local church while you are in that place. Why, friends? Because look at what happened. And in the same year, he reaped 100-fold. Can you say 100-fold? That's a 10,000% return on his investment. Because the Lord blessed him. Not because he was clever, but because of the goodness of God. The goodness of God. He just positioned himself for the goodness of God. He sowed in that land. The Bible says the man became rich and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. See, the people of that place envied him because he experienced the goodness of God. Now, we must understand, friends, that for us in the New Testament, it's not just limited to physical wealth. It's actually, we've got eternal riches that are far exceeds. Yes, we experience blessing here, but there's more. We actually have way more than what Isaac was experiencing. We could embrace souls that are getting saved. We could embrace cities impacted. We could embrace so many things, the needy being ministered to. We could embrace nations impacted. We can embrace a church exploding and making a difference in the community. Why? Because we're sowing in our land and there can be an eternal inheritance unlocked for us. Many people, I believe, step into barren seasons later on because they never sowed in the previous season. If you're not willing to sow in this season, you're not going to reap a harvest in the next season. And so what the enemy wants you to do is he doesn't want you to sow. He wants you to hold your seed for the next season. But the problem is, friends, if you hold your seed, you'll not have a harvest tomorrow. And I'm here to say, this is a prophetic message to every person watching. I believe God wants us to sow right now. God wants us to sow our love, to sow our praise, to sow our finances, to sow our gifting, to sow our time, to sow our availability, to sow our commitment in this season. Because, friends, the next season, you will reap a harvest. And God says, he's no man's debtor. Whatever you sow, you will reap. And your children will thank you for sowing in this season, friends. Because if you do not sow in this season, what harvest will you have tomorrow? And I'll never forget William Wallace in that amazing, famous scene on Braveheart when they were saying, we're not going to fight. We're rather going to play it safe. We're rather going to go back to our home. And we're going to just tend our little vineyards And we're rather going to leave. We're rather not going to engage with this. We don't want to experience the victory. Yes, because of the risk of losing our lives. And William Wallace said this to them. He says, dying one day, lying on your dying bed one day, will you trade all the days of your life to just come back here and to say to your enemies, you might take my life, but you can never take my freedom? And I want to ask you today, will you live a life in such a way that you're saying, God, I want to experience your goodness so deeply, so intensely. In my personal relationship with you, I want to embrace your will and I want to sow in this land. I want to be able to say one day when I lie in my bed, God, that I experience the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. When you get to the end of your life, unless Jesus returns, which I'm trusting for, but when we get to our end of the time right here on earth, will we be able to say, Lord, I experience the goodness of God. I experienced double portion. I experienced everlasting joy. I experienced the boundary lines fall for me in pleasant places. I experienced people bringing glory to God because I expressed the goodness of God. Friends, what an invitation God is giving you and me today. If you're far from God, today is your day to give your life to Christ, to say, God, I want to serve you. I want to know you. I want to experience your goodness because you are kind. You died on the cross for me. You gave your life for me. You literally became, you became sin for me so that I can be the righteousness of God. You expressed your goodness through your Son. And I want to experience, I want to receive that free gift of salvation. If that's you, you need to respond. You need to contact us, maybe comment or even email us. We would love to minister to you and connect you with someone. But if you're close to God and you're like me and you're saying, God, I've experienced your goodness, but Lord, I want next level. I want to experience more of your goodness. And I don't just want to experience it. I want to express this amazing goodness. I want to be someone that says, Lord, I thank you for what you did on the cross for me, but now I want what you did for me. I want to share that with others. Anoint me, empower me, not only alone, but also together with other believers. There where I've maybe had some bad experiences in church and I've struggled to trust again, Lord, may I trust you. May I put my hope in you. And friends, my prayer for us is that we would look with expectation, that we would look with longing in our hearts, with hope, with joy in our hearts for the double portion, with joy in our hearts for the eternal inheritance that God's got for us together in the saints, the inheritance that God's got for City on Hill Church International, the inheritance that God's got for us together. We cannot be hidden. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. And yes, Lord, even though there's some changes in roles, there's no change in you because you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And your promise remains. And I'm going to look to you, Jesus. And I'm going to sow in this land for your glory and for your renown in my life. I want to enjoy you, God. And I want to enjoy your inheritance for me. Let's pray. Jesus, I want to thank you today that every single one of us would open our hearts, that we would experience your goodness, we'll receive your goodness, and that we will share your goodness. And Lord, that we will let our light shine, that we will be the salt and the light, not alone only, but also connected. But God, there where we are in a field and maybe in a barren place, Lord, that you would give us grace and faith to sow even though others aren't sowing, to plant even though others don't believe. Even though there's no rain, I know we can draw water from unseen places. And Lord, we can experience abundance. I thank you that we will live in obedience, because when we are willing and obedient, we'll eat the fat of the land, the goodness of God. We will experience, we're confident in this, we'll experience the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Friends and family, love and appreciate you. Let's respond with worship. Bless you.
Thanks for joining us for today's message. Don't forget to check out our website or visit City on a Hill International on Instagram or Facebook for our updates, celebration times, or ways you can get involved. We are also streaming our message on Facebook Live, so make sure you join us or share the post. Thanks again for checking out our podcast. We'll see you soon.